Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look, I'm not saying Brock Lesnar versus Omos was actually good. But is Brock Lesnar versus Omos actually good?
No.
I kid, of course. But yeah, it's, I don't know. Is actually good?
No, it isn't.
Well, do you know what? Let's get into this. I am Luke Owen, D-A-D. I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. Welcome to the WrestleTalk Podcast Raw Review. If this is your first time here, please do press the subscribe button. Give us a little thumbs up. Leave your comment down below. What do you think of Brock Lesnar versus Omos, which is going to be one of the key matches at WrestleMania this year? And get in your Oosi chat to WrestleTalk.com/support. Now, Pete, mm-hmm. You were you said to me this morning,
yeah,
because I write up my Raw review for the edited review that goes up on the WrestleTalk News,
yeah,
and I finished it and I recorded it and I came back to the office and you said to me, well, I was really surprised that you liked that Brock Lesnar versus Omos segment, Why didn't you like it, Pete?
Because it was boring. Nothing happened, Luke. MVP came out and said, Brock Lesnar, Omos is going to win. And then Brock Lesnar came out, and then he went around a little bit, and then he came in, and then Omos did a weird thing where he was like...
Yeah, he put his fist up to him.
And then that was it. And then he went for a handshake, and then they did a handshake. And then Omos pushed him out of the ring, and then they botched it.
Well, that's because Omos wouldn't let go of the handshake. And... then Brock Lesnar managed to reverse that into a potential suplex, which Omos escaped from.
Yeah,
and then Omos tried to throw him out of the ring, and botchy Lesnar just couldn't get himself over the top rope, and that was that. I wrote in my notes, well, that was the segment.
Yep, and then Lesnar walked away, and they were putting it over like, oh my god, Lesnar walked away. I'm like, yeah. He's done it before, gang.
But they were also, Pete, I think they were also putting over, no one has manhandled Brock Lesnar this way
which
before.
Is also not true!
On this episode of Raw, Pete, I've never seen anyone manhandle Brock Lesnar. Just realize the back lights aren't on, Pete.
No, yeah, I should probably turn them on.
Yeah, you turn those on while I talk about the brilliance of this segment, which was, in all honesty, fine.
Please explain why it's good.
Okay, so here's why I didn't think this was a terrible segment. Mm-hmm. I have been, you know, cast your minds back to when Omos first challenged Brock Lesnar. Oh, we went, yeah, okay, right, I know how this has happened. Yeah, we're gonna have this challenge laid out, and then next we're gonna find out what Brock Lesnar's actual match is. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that could be against Bray Wyatt or Bubbles Lashley. But then it actually was Omos, and we were like, oh, okay. well, that seems like a waste of your Brock Lesnar now, doesn't it? Now, that seems like a real waste of your Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And then all of the think pieces came out. Guys, it's not for you. Mm-hmm. It's not for you wrestling fans. This is for the casual audience.
Yeah.
The people who were like, look how many viewing figures Omos videos do on the YouTubes. Like, he is an attraction, you might say. He is a big lad, and Brock Lesnar going up against this big lad is going to bring in all, like, I have spoken to casual viewers, Pete, who have said to me, I had zero interest in watching WrestleMania until I heard that Brock Lesnar might fight a big lad. And now, honestly, millions of them, I've heard from millions of them, Pete, that are now going to be buying the Peacock so they can watch Brock Lesnar versus the big lad.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I kid, obviously I'm being facetious, but when I was doing up the meta for this video, you would not believe how many search options there are for Omos versus Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
That include the word giant.
Yeah.
And that's what this match is being sold on. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of turned a corner on it a little bit to be like, it's going to go 5 minutes. Yep. Really? Like, I'll never watch it again.
No. Nope.
It's not what I would have done with a Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, but also it doesn't really harm WrestleMania in any way. I think it's a waste of a spot, but I'm not the one that's in charge. I also think, and I still think, it's a Vince McMahon decision. It's a Triple H being like, fine, Vince, we'll do the one thing that you want.
Yeah.
And as a segment, I genuinely thought that this accomplished two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, Lesnar's cockiness got the better of him. Because Lesnar has accepted this match, not even knowing what Omos's name is.
Yep.
Calling him Omos the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
He went into this ring and was like, oh, cool, I'll shake hands with the big lad. The big lad put his fist up and he thought, crikey, that's a big fist. Mm-hmm. I sure hope that don't hit me in the face. And then, you know, he did the handshake and he shook the hands. He was like, oh, now I can't escape the handshake. Tried to suplex him. He could not suplex him. The mayor of Suplex City could not suplex this very tall man.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very tall man knocked the slightly smaller man out of the ring. And he walked up the ramp being like, I might have made a mistake here.
Mm.
I thought Brock Lesnar was very, very good in this segment. My other note is, Omos is a terrible actor. Because he really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
He is very, very bad at most of the things that he does. And acting is one of the things he's worse at.
Yeah.
I think he's a worse actor than he is wrestler. And that tells you what I think about his acting skills.
Yeah. So, this segment obviously wasn't for me. I didn't get a lot out of it. However, I did know the crowd started chanting, Holy S, they started squaring off.
That's the key.
And then I said, maybe WWE are right. We're wrong, aren't we? Are we the baddies?
Yeah, that's the second thing that this accomplished, is this crowd were into this segment.
They were.
And considering that they were not into a lot of the wrestling that happened on this show, this maybe is one of those, hey, I think you're wrong on this one. When I say you're wrong, I mean me, you, I mean like people in our office, maybe even people watching this video here. Maybe we're wrong on this one. And actually, you know, my facetious comment I made about the millions of people buying up the Peacock so they can watch this match isn't actually that far off. So I thought this was I also felt like I was putting this segment on a bit of a pedestal when I was writing up my Raw review, because it was actually felt like a bit of WrestleMania build where everyone involved in the match was actually in the ring for a segment.
Yeah.
So that had a bit of a win for me as well. Whether or not it's actually good. Also, I know a lot of people are calling this a bathroom break match.
Mm.
It's not. It's too short to be a bathroom break match. If you go and do a toilet when this match starts, you're going to miss half of the next match.
Yeah.
It's a big place. They're in a massive, massive stadium. Mm-hmm. You have to leave your seat, walk upstairs, walk up down corridors, go to the queue to go all the other people who are doing this. You're going to miss most of the next match.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take your toilet break during this match.
Yeah.
Be smart about things.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till they start doing the Peacock adverts. Then you want to start running.
Yeah, exactly.
But was this, is it actually good?
No.
No, I like this one. Are we out of touch? No, it's the casuals that are wrong.
Exactly. Yes, they are wrong. They don't understand wrestling, all right?
You weren't here. You've not been here for the bad stuff.
You weren't here for Jinder Mahal. You weren't here for that.
You weren't here for Jinder Mahal's racist promos on Shinsuke Nakamura. You don't get to have this one. Is it actually good, though? Honestly, going by this segment, yeah. I think it is. Dude, I think when Brock Lesnar lifts up Amos and they do the F5, we're all going to go like, hot dog, that was pretty darn good.
You know what we're going to say? What a moment.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's it.
That is all this is. It's a moment.
And you know what, Pete? Sometimes moments are actually good.
No! I disagree.
I mean, okay, there is a bigger not actually good at play here, which is that this feud has just, like, big VHS player pressed pause on a lot of other storylines that we were doing. There's months and months we spent building Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, doing an absolutely balls-ass finish at Elimination Chamber just to be like, yeah, we're not going to do that just now. We'll press play on this again once we've done with Brock Lesnar versus Amos.
Will we?
On the other side of that cassette, I've now changed to a cassette player rather than a VHS player.
Sure, yep.
You've got MVP trying to reunite the Hurt Business. Yeah, it's like, actually, we're just going to press pause on that for just 1 second. I know we've spent the last month or so, maybe 2 months, a lot of hours of TV rebuilding this Hurt Business, but we're just going to press pause for a second so MVP can be the manager of Amos again, and only Amos, where Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander and all of this. And then once we've got this out, then we can press play and we can go back to this. I think that's the more negative stuff I have about this feud. Mm-hmm. But as a segment, as a match, I give this a thumbs up.
Cool.
Not convinced on the thumbs up, but I'm giving it a thumbs up.
I don't have a thumb in this because I'm apathetic.
I don't have a thumb in this game.
I don't have a thumb in this one. This is, I don't really care.
There was a comment at the start of this live chat, just when we put the video up, you know, with the title of Brock Lesnar vs. Amos is actually good, with a thumbnail of like actually good and stuff. And so one of the first comments was like, man, this is a title that really says, not lots to talk about with this episode of Raw.
And they're right.
And they are right, because last week's we were like, oh, finally, the road to WrestleMania. Nope, that was an anomaly.
No.
This build to WrestleMania is all service station stops.
The thing is, it's the Triple H formula. The weekly TV isn't fantastic, but the pay-per-views are blow-away awesome.
Yeah. And Amos versus Brock Lesnar will be part of that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what you thought about this segment and this episode of Raw in the Ooh Woozy Chats. Join the conversation, rustalk.com/support. Get your voice and opinion heard. Kick off with BM Whitehouse 76. It said, I'm okay with Brock versus Omos. If rumors are true that Brock feels like he needs to win a match at Mania to preserve his credibility, he's only won one singles match in the last 3 years, then do we really want to see him pin Gunther or someone we like?
No.
No, but we could have seen him pin Bobby Lashley.
We could have also just seen him lose again. It's fine. He can lose.
I think Brock is strong enough that he can.
But also, he can just lose. He's Brock.
But also, he can just beat Bobby Lashley.
Don't do that.
Well, beat Bobby Lashley.
Have Bobby win. Bobby should win that.
Oh, well, Bobby showed that he could win won at Elimination Chamber. Brock had to resort to the low blow. He could have beaten Bobby. It would have been fine. Charles Berg. Now, Charles. I don't think this one's going to work, but I'll give it a go, mate. Adrenaline in my soul. Play Zelda on Nintendo. Do you know what?
It's not terrible.
Better. Written down, does not work.
Yeah.
Read out loud. Very good, Charles. IDKY. But I'd like to...
IDKY?
Yeah. IDKY. But I'd really like to see Lesnar versus Hager in a hat versus hat match.
Nice.
This was a relatively nothing episode of Raw. I'm calling it now. Otis will be doing the Chippendales SNL skit in the next 6 weeks. Really, right. That was my option B thumbnail was mm-hmm. just Otis.
Otis. Oh, man.
Wish there was more of that on this show.
Yeah.
D-Matic Made It said, I feel like Beer Mahan should be in the position that Omos is in. They could have built him up as this monster heel and tear through everyone, then have broken his chat, and then Brock challenge him and have Brock put him over as the next monster heel because Omos is not the guy.
Problem with that is that Beer Mahan isn't 7 foot tall.
Well, yeah, there is that.
He's not tall. So no. How could you possibly sell tickets off that?
That's where you're slightly wrong, D-Matic, on this one. And Pete is very much right. Beer Mahan is a mere 6'3". And that is absolutely rubbish when you consider, when you put him against Omos, like, you look at Viva, what's the point of you? Omos is way taller.
Yeah.
And Bacon Rasher here says, hi, lads. Could Omos versus Lesnar make a future list of worst match ever? Also, Raw seemed missable for me, but weirdly, still good. I agree with Luke's 3 out of 5. Letters left so love to the Swap Nation, Jam That Jam. Well, thank you very much, Bacon
nice.
Rasher.
Thank you very much, Bacon
Rasher. Sorry, I read that so poorly.
You did.
Could it be on a future list of worst match ever?
Unless something goes wrong, no. I don't think it will be a bad match. It will be a very quick match unless it's going to win and blah, blah, blah. Unless there's like a really bad botch or something goes wrong in the match, then maybe. But I think if they just do what they've got planned, like Les is going to F5 Omos and we'll all go, huh, cool. And that's it.
That's it. Like, as long as they don't bollocks up the F5, mm-hmm. the match accomplishes everything that it set out to do.
Exactly.
It could be pretty boring up until that point, but at the end of it, you are going to see Brock Lesnar F5 someone who is legit 7'3".
Yeah.
And that is impressive. So I can't imagine it will feature in worst match ever down the line.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, like you're right, it's going to be short.
Yes.
It's going to be short. Next episode of Worst Match Ever, by the way, is out tomorrow. Mm. It is me, Pete, and Tempest reacting to Gerald Briscoe versus Pat Patterson in a hardcore evening gown match from King of the Ring 2000. If you've ever watched a wrestling match and thought, this needs more maxi pads, then have I got the match for you?
It's one of those where you're watching and you go, why do I watch wrestling?
Well, we recorded 2 episodes of Worst Match Ever today.
Mm.
One of those episodes really was a, what are we doing?
Yeah, why are we here?
Why do we watch this?
Yeah.
So those are future episodes to look for, but there are links to Worst Match Ever in the video description down below. Please do join us for a very, very fun time. Right, let me just reload up my notes, which I've now lost.
The show opened with Luke's favorite thing in the world. Edge came out to call out the Judgment Day. It's his two favourite things. Edge, Judgment Day, together. What could go wrong?
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say? Honestly, like at this point, what do you want me to say?
Edge said he wants to finally be done with this, despite being done with it a couple of times already.
Yeah, right. Well,
yeah. Look, I don't want to sound like the broken record here, but that is the problem with this feud, is that Edge didn't bring up any of the times that he's won.
Yeah.
He's brought up the one time that he lost because that's the only thing that hangs all of this together. So he's like, you made me say I quit. Mm-hmm. And you then caved my wife's head in with a chair.
Yeah.
And I know I already got revenge for that, but I think we should have another match anyway. And then Edge, in so many words, said, my return's been sh**. Let's be honest here. My return to the ring has been frankly underwhelming. A good year and a half of it was in front of TV screens, and then I've been dicking around with you lot for the last year. I think we can all sum up, it's been quite rubbish,
yep.
And I'd like to do better now.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what he said.
Pretty much what he said in so many words.
He also had some jokes. Great way to get them over, you know? Just undermine their characters and everything. Good stuff. And then he challenged Balor to a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania. And then Finn Balor said that he's been to Hell and back and Hell couldn't handle his demons.
Yeah, he did tease that the demon is going to be making his return. And it had been reported by Fightful Select this was supposed to happen at the Royal Rumble.
Mm.
And had this happened at the Royal Rumble and we'd have ended it with the tag match at Elimination Chamber.
Don't do the tag match. Hell in a Cell, Rumble, that's it, move on.
I agree with you, but you do need to have the Beth Rhea bit.
That's part of the match.
Because they caved it. Well, yeah, I mean, you're right, Pete. What better way to have a Hell in a Cell match than loads of interference?
Yeah, of course.
People? You're right, Pete. When you say it that
when
way.
When you line up all the best Hell in a Cell matches, they all have loads of interference in, obviously.
But yeah, this was... Yeah, you know, I've got really... Like, my new issue I have with this storyline, Pete, this is massively diminished Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
You think how, like, hot WWE were on protecting Rhea Ripley and making her feel like a big star. She was beating up dudes on TV. She beat Akira Tozawa in a match. Like, Akira Tozawa, but still, she wrestled and beat a dude in the lead up to the Royal Rumble, then bossed it in the Royal Rumble, had this incredible performance, and has only wrestled twice since, one of which was on SmackDown, the other which was losing on pay-per-view.
Yep.
And all of the other times, what's she done? She's either had very small video packages or she is standing in the corner of a Judgment Day wrestler.
Yep.
She does not feel like she's the number one contender to the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Well, this is an issue with Triple H's current booking of women in WWE. It's not very good.
Yeah.
I'm not very pleased with that.
No, and this was not a good... This was a bad night for Triple H being like, hey, guys, it's not as bad as you think it is.
Mm.
With his one match that came 2.5 hours into the show.
Also wasn't long.
And it wasn't long, and it wasn't good either.
Yeah, it's a shame. There's time to make Ripley feel cool again. There's still a few weeks. You can still have some interactions with Charlotte and things like that. There's still time to rehabilitate. But, yeah, she definitely feels like third fiddle right now to Balor and Edge and to Dominic and Rey. She's just like kind of involved in both, but not really the defining factor of either.
That's a really good point. She doesn't feel important. Not even in the group she feels important. There was one point she felt like she was the leader of
very
the group,
much so.
But like I don't think she doesn't. Now she's just standing on the periphery, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, bloody hell, after watching that Charlotte match on SmackDown, Crivens are my less interested now in watching. I mean, I know that Charlotte will go because it's pay-per-view, but if Charlotte isn't going to be asked to wrestle on TV properly, don't put her on TV then, because that was frankly embarrassing. And that was not good at all. And it really did make me not want to see their WrestleMania match.
Yep.
I think we can do better trips in terms of this Rhea Charlotte feud. And when I say better, I mean also better than what you're doing with Bianca Asker, which we will get to.
Which is also not good.
So afterwards, Judgment Day went down to Brawl with Edge, and Gargano, Loomis, and Candice LeRae ran down to make the save. And this led to not a trios match, as I thought it was going to, but just a straight-up tag match of Johnny Gargano and... I've written just Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano and Dexter Loomis versus Judgment Day of Damian Priest and Dom Dom Mysterio, with Candice and Rhea standing outside.
Mm-hmm.
That was fine.
I thought it was a pretty fun match.
Yeah.
I think it got really good after the Dexter hot tag. I thought it was actually a pretty fun match.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the stare down spot between Priest and Loomis mm-hmm. was really good. And actually, like, the crowd were super into the idea of Dexter Loomis tagging in to face off against Damian Priest.
So which was, is weird. But again, are we the baddies?
Yeah. But you know what? I really quite enjoyed that. But if I was to have a criticism against this, and I really don't think this is a criticism of the match whatsoever. It's just that's the way that wrestling often is. I pretty much finished my notes before the match had finished. Because, like, a second Johnny Gargano tagged in, I was like, right, heels work over Gargano, Dexter gets the hot tag. And that is exactly what happens. Because Johnny Gargano is the much smaller one. Candice LeRae stopped Dominic cheating, and then we got a very good near fall off of Dominic hitting the frog splash. I actually thought it was the three. But then Priest just hit the South of Heaven on Loomis and won anyway. So,
which I thought was quite cool. It was a good little spot, that one. I thought it was quite good. Like, he had Dexter had the choke in, whatever he calls it, on Dominic. And Priest hit spin kick, which looked really cool.
Really cool.
And South of Heaven, and then he won. Like, Priest just won decisively, and that's good. He should be.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, he should be. It kind of made Johnny Gargano and Loomis look somewhat chumpish because they got beaten twice effectively, but I didn't mind it too much. I actually thought it was the right choice to make, particularly because, as they were plugging throughout this, WrestleMania Backlash is going to be in Puerto Rico with Bad Bunny hosting. Mm. So put over your Latin star and Damian Priest.
Yeah.
That's a very smart move.
Good.
Good. Enjoyed that a lot. Kathy Kelly interviewed The Miz earlier in the day. This had three different things happening at once, which I kind of love. So Kathy Kelly tried to interview The Miz about the possibility of a co-host for WrestleMania. And then Chad Gable was looking for Otis. Mm-hmm. And Miz kind of accidentally suggested to Chad that he have flyers mm-hmm. so that Chad Gable can find Otis. And then chaos to the left, as they swing around, Damage Control are beating up Trish Stratus mm-hmm. and laid out Trish Stratus, and she was then taken to a doctor's facility inside the building. Very cool, like three different things concurrently happening at once. One segment accomplishing three different storylines. Thumbs up.
Yep.
Any thought on what might be for The Miz as a co-host?
Nothing.
Cool. Or do you think it was
I think it was a throwaway thing on this show.
Yeah?
I don't know. Maybe they'll undermine it. They'll have Jake Paul or someone.
Yeah, that's... Pete, that's the one. Pete, that is exactly who it's going to be. There's no other option.
Sure.
Because...
I don't care.
Look, you know? I've said it before and I'll say it again. Miz is 100% helping Logan Paul mm-hmm. win at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Rollins and Miz at WrestleMania Backlash. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have Rollins versus Paul 2 mm-hmm. in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
Or Rollins plus partner versus the Paul brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The brothers Paul.
What if Logan Paul wins King of the Ring?
Hey, man.
That's the final of the tournament is the rematch. It's
Paul versus Rollins. That's damn good, Pete. I like that a lot. Mm. That's really, really good. Mm. That's very nice, Pete. I am
full of good ideas, Luke.
You are, Pete. Mm. We then had the Amos Brock Lesnar face-to-face, which followed up with Cody Rhodes versus SmackDown's LA Knight. So
you say SmackDown's LA Knight, like the brands matter.
Well, that's it. This was very much brand split LOL because they advertised three things for this episode of Raw. And that was Cody facing off against SmackDown's LA Knight, mm-hmm. SmackDown's Rey Mysterio cutting a promo,
yep.
and Kevin Owens versus SmackDown's Solo Sikoa.
Makes sense to me.
Very much brand split LOL.
Yeah.
But this was Cody Rhodes versus LA Knight, a match that could have happened in Impact Wrestling 2016. Basic, but very good match.
I thought it was fine.
I really, really liked this. I thought that LA Knight was perfect in this role of mm-hmm. making Cody Rhodes look like the megastar while not diminishing himself. He got some really good spots in there. Cody gave him a lot while still making himself look like the guy who's going for the title. Mm-hmm. LA Knight got way more out of this than anything he did with Bray Wyatt in like mm-hmm. the months that they were feuding. I thought this was a really good showing for LA Knight. Plus, it was telling a story of like Knight is looking, he's trying to find his path to WrestleMania while Cody already has his roads set. So I thought this did quite a lot, and I really enjoyed Cody in this match, and I thought LA Knight was also very good.
I definitely did not get as much out of this as you did. I thought the match was all right, and Cody won decisively, which he should, and that was that.
Yeah.
I thought the first match was much better, the tag match.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, I thought this was all right.
I mean, both...
Nothing wrong with it at all.
Both very, very basic, but I did really like this. I thought this was a good use of both guys. I also really like this idea. Like, the rumor is that, you know, WWE are really trying to push for Austin to have a match at WrestleMania or something. Mm-hmm. And LA Knight apparently is the guy that they are pitching. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of great. I mean, if you're going to do a Steve Austin match, I probably wouldn't have LA Knight be losing matches. Probably rack up a few wins to make him feel like a credible opponent to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
But if you were just to do a promo off segment, like a back and forth of yeah and what,
it works, isn't it?
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Cody then cut a promo.
Which was awesome.
This was awesome. Cody Rhodes is a babyface.
He sure is.
This really feels like the Cody Rhodes of early doors AEW.
I think this is the Cody Rhodes that he wanted to be in AEW, and everyone was like, no, boo! And Cody's like, but I'm a good guy, I promise, guys. Everyone's like, no, shut up, Cody, we hate you! And now he's gone to WWE to do the same thing, and everyone's like, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. AEW fans just were not picking up what he was putting down.
Yeah.
But here in WWE, it just totally works. He is a blue-eyed babyface.
Sure is.
And just oozes everything that a babyface should. Mm. I thought he was superb in this promo. Talking about how, like, this is, yeah, you're damn right, this is a personal feud. And I acknowledge you, Roman Reigns, but it's time that you acknowledge me. And he starts hammering home this point, April 2nd, April 2nd. April 2nd. April 2nd is going to be the day a Rhodes can finally say, I am the WWE Universal Champion.
Yep.
Because really, that's all he wants to say is, I want to be WWE Champion, but yep, has to get the four extra words in there.
Undisputed Universal Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was an awesome, awesome promo. He also made a Master Sword reference, so 5 out of 5, show.
Sure.
Come on, Pete.
Yeah.
You got to give me this thing of, like, are there ancient Pokemon and stuff? Like, you and Tempest get your little bonus and whatnot. But, like, fine. You know, mention Master Sword.
I have mine and you have yours.
I've got mine.
Yeah.
I've got my own Master Sword. Saxton backstage interviewed Seth Rollins, who said that Logan Paul will not knock him down again. I have a feeling he might.
Yes.
This is another one of those segments where, like, multiple things were kind of coming together because Miz walked in to announce that Logan Paul will be on the show next week for an Impulsive TV, mm-hmm, and Miz is going to be the guest. Cool. And then Baron Corbin walks in and says, Miz, I hear you might be looking for a co-host for WrestleMania. It just so happens my schedule's now free, so mm-hmm, I could take on that role.
Yeah.
And Miz was like, nah, I'm good. And then he looked at Rollins and he was like, oh, Logan Paul knocked you out last week. You know, I'm a former 3-time Golden Glove doopy-doo. I could do a train with you. And Rollins was like, nah, but why don't we have a match instead?
Mm-hmm.
Look, all of this is dragging Seth Rollins way down. Like, he is clawing to that possible main event scene. And there's The Miz and Baron Corbin clutching at his feet, dragging him down like the zombie. Maybe this is what the zombies did to The Miz.
That must have been it.
They've actually passed on lower card virus. So and now they're trying to infect Rollins with it as well, mm, by dragging him down. But it's not going to work. But they were going to have a match tonight.
I really like Baron Corbin in this role.
Me too.
Being a guy who's down on his luck and just trying to get a foothold literally anywhere, he plays that character really well. I really dig it.
Yeah. And it's Sad Corbin.
Yeah.
And we like Sad Corbin.
Sad Corbin is the best thing he's ever done.
Sad Corbin was legit funny.
So good. And also, very minor thing, when Miz interrupted Seth, I like that Seth was annoyed about it. And he, like, half started saying words, and he was like, oh, it's Miz again! It was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's what he'd do kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, oh, look who it is, you know?
Well, look who it is.
Yeah, like, and that's boring.
Bronson Reed took on Elias. I don't know what Bronson Reed has to do.
Okay. Luke?
Yes, mate?
This might just be me smoking the copium right now, but... Bronson's getting there, man. Like, you might not have heard massive reactions on this show, but damn, he just needs to win quick, do impressive moves. He will get over. Like, dude is doing really good stuff. He's adding new moves every time. He's doing good stuff. He's going to get over. He's going to get over, guys. Please.
Pete, I'm just going to take you off that copium for just 1 second. If it ain't going to happen after the Elimination Chamber, after that Elimination Chamber performance, Like, this is what I said this in the Elimination Chamber review. Everyone was like, start making force. Everyone was like, oh, let's wait till 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, 3 weeks of Raws. Johnny Gargano ain't getting any reactions after the great performance he put in. Bronson Reed isn't either. I think Bronson Reed, it's not the matches. It's not him adding moves. It's not him just getting wins quickly, because that is actually going to get him less over than he is now. Dude needs a story.
Well, yeah, that too.
The dude needs a feud.
Yeah.
He just needs to do something.
And I think post-Mania he probably will, but he should really have something pre-Mania, for Mania. But I think they've done a good job, at least. They're now starting to put over, like, he's undefeated in singles competition since he's come back. Like, he's on the road to being, like, a strong force. He now needs to come up against another strong force and then overcome that strong force. People are going to go, oh, okay. Like, he's, like, up here now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who that is, but someone.
I was going to say, like, dude, like, Amos was, you know, undefeated and won matches quickly, and Veer Mahan was
undefeated and
won matches quickly. It's different. Like, it's a templated thing. If Bray is not going to be a part of Mania, him versus Lashley.
Yeah.
That massively elevates Bronson hugely up.
That'd be,
like,
really cool.
Going up against the almighty, this undefeated, like, tsunami of a man going up against Bobby Lashley would be awesome. Like, that is what Bronson Reed needs. He needs something. Because him just beating Elias does nothing for him.
Mm.
These squash matches are doing nothing for him. And bless Kevin Patrick. Bless his cotton socks. But he was really trying to put over how the big wins that Bronson Reed has had. He's like, he's got wins over Dolph Ziggler and Chad Gable. Like, whoa! Really? Both of them? No! One, maybe, but certainly not both of them.
My final note for this match was, give him time.
Give him time.
He'll get there.
Do you know what? Like, I'd like this here. Solo Sikoa versus Bronson Reed.
I mean, yeah, that was my thought with Solo Sikoa, but also, you can't really have either of them lose that match.
Well, it's fine, because Solo's going to get beaten by Cody before Rainer. So, there's no worries there, Pete. Kathy Kelly tried to get in an update on Trish Stratus, but she couldn't get into the room. But Chad Gable walked up with his flyers for Otis, and then Becky and Lita walked in to see Trish. Lots of, like, you know, little mini converging backstage storylines here. Yep. Kathy Kelly all over the show, because she then interviewed Kevin Owens, who again reiterated he does not need Sami Zayn to take down the Bloodline. He also doesn't need Cody's help either.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a street fight with Solo Sikoa. I don't want to see either of you out there helping me. I do not need your help.
Yep. And in Cody's promo, he mentioned that, like, hey, if I want to help Sami Zayn, I can do that. If I want to help Kevin Owens, I can do that. And Kevin Owens referenced that in this promo, just being like, heard what you said earlier, Cody. No.
Don't need
your help. Don't want your help. And he referenced, like, we spoke last week, which was the bit that they were talking in the background last week. We spoke last week. I told you then. And I'll tell you again now. I don't want your help. I don't need your help. I'm going to do it by myself.
Yeah. Very, very important for what comes in the main event.
I love flawed characters.
Yeah. We then got a recap of Cena and Theory from last week, where they are openly saying now that Cena buried Austin Theory. Yeah. And earlier in the day, Austin Theory set up a match with Angelo Dawkins and also set up a potential. Well, I mean, he's got a match with Montez Ford next week, but this promo segment more felt like it's to set up a singles feud, because they were always talking about how, well, he was saying that Montez Ford cannot win the big one.
They are really hammering home the differences between the Street Profits now. Whereas before it was like, well, it's the Street Profits. Doesn't really matter who's who. It's the Street Profits. Now they're really saying, like, Montez Ford is this guy. Angelo Dawkins is this guy. They are separate people now. We're going to give them their own characters. And these are the differences between them, which to me sounds like they're setting up a singles run.
Yeah, like this a lot.
Yeah.
We then got Austin Theory versus Angelo Dawkins, which I found to be a fascinating match.
Mm-hmm.
On the crowd reactions alone.
Yeah.
Because early doors, Austin Theory, great heat.
Mm.
Crowd were massively into booing Austin Theory, booing everything that he did. He was getting amazing heat. The longer this match went, the less the audience cared. I don't know whether I'm not even going to say it's Dawkins, actually. I was about to say, I don't know if it is Dawkins, but it wasn't. The crowd did not make a peep for him getting a near fall.
Mm.
But they also didn't react when Theory hit his move and won.
Yeah.
Like, this crowd started at 10 with booing Theory, but just slowly dipped and dipped and dipped. And by the end, they were like, yeah, cool, whatever.
To me, and maybe, because they were holy essing Omos and Lesnar, They started off hot, but then didn't care about wrestling. This must have been a casual crowd.
Could very well have been.
Must have been. Yeah. Those casuals.
Yeah, because he then locked in the STF afterwards, and that got him a bit of heat back. And then Montez Ford ran down for the save.
Cool.
Okay, it was.
Yep.
Kathy Kelly interviewed Paul Heyman, who announced that Roman Reigns mm-hmm. will be on Raw next week.
Yeah. And he said that going to give you a perfect chance to acknowledge Roman Reigns, Cody. And I was like, he already said that he did that. And yeah, it's fine.
We can now acknowledge him to his face.
Yeah, it's fine. And also, I'll come on to this in the main event, actually. I'll remind me to talk about this later.
Video package for Rey Mysterio going into the Hall of Fame. And then Rey came out for a little promo just to say thank you very much to the fans. And Dominic Mysterio came out.
Now, you and I disagree on this segment.
You and I, well, no. I don't think we disagree on the segment.
No, okay, we disagree on
one bit of the segment. We disagree on this one bit of the segment.
Yeah.
Because Dom came out here to talk about how Rey has been a bad dad. Mm-hmm. Because when Dominic was getting his eighth grade doopy-doos, I don't know, we don't go to school in America. I don't know what you get in eighth grade. I don't know, a star or something. He's getting his eighth grade star.
Sure, yeah.
And Rey said that I'll be there to see the star celebrations. And coronations and stuff when you all mm-hmm. get your stars mm-hmm. and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't there because instead he went to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how, like, I was going to do this, but you weren't there. You were always on the road. This is a very well-trodden story of father and son in wrestling. We've seen it a lot in AEW. We've seen it a lot in WWE as well, of the younger boy saying, you were not there for me because you were always on the road.
Yeah.
It's a long trodden, well trodden road. So I think it's good. I think it adds a lot of character dynamics, and I think it adds a lot of drama and passion into this match. And Dom challenged Rey Mysterio to a match at WrestleMania, and Rey said, look, I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
Despite everything you've done, I still love you because you're my son. And I am not going to fight my son.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked out of the ring and he left. And I was there like, this is great because like Dom's really trying to tap in and really trying to get into Ray's head about like how you are not the father that you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to show that to you at WrestleMania. And I was like, what is Dom going to do next in order to flick that switch and get a match going? We've still got two more Raws and three SmackDowns. Mm-hmm. We've got loads of time to get this done. And genuinely, really intrigued to see where this is going. But there was one line in here that I really did not like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in all of this, they did what I would call lazy, spoilt child comedy, which is where Dominic said, for my sweet 16, all of my friends showed up with Mercedes, but you only bought me a BMW.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you would stoop so low. And it wasn't even a thingio.
It was an M-series.
Yeah,
It wasn't even an M-series.
It wasn't even an M-people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your bad father. And I was like, oh man, you've completely undermined all of the actual good stuff you were doing in this segment when you were doing real life bits. So I thought the segment was good. I just wouldn't. I could have done without the sweet 16
mm-hmm.
spoilt child stuff.
I loved it. I thought it was really funny. I really liked the line because I feel like you can have serious stuff and comedy in the same segment. I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive. It's not like this is either a comedy feud and this is only comedy or only serious. Like you can have a blend of both. And I think the whole time, what we have loved about Dominic's character since he's joined Judgment Day is, as Michael Cole has constantly told us in commentary, he's a spoiled brat. That's his whole thing. Like, everyone was doing the wrestling for him, and then he'd celebrate like he was doing the victories and getting the pins and everything. He is a spoiled child. That is Dominic Mysterio's character. So for him to have, like, saying that his dad wasn't there and all that stuff, he was wrestling at WrestleMania. Of course he's not going to be there. Like, it makes sense. Like, you can have reasons why Rey wasn't there, and maybe there is a nugget of truth to that. Maybe Rey was on the road too much and he wasn't actually that good a father to Dom. Maybe. But also, Dominic's a spoiled child. That's his character. So for him to say, I think it was also delivered very well. Like, Dominic really made me laugh with that. And he's like, all my new friends turned up with Mercedes. You promised you'd buy me a new car and you bought me a BMW. And it wasn't even an M series. Like, he had like the extra add-on line of it. Like, the delivery on it was really funny. I really liked it. And then after that is when you had the really serious stuff of Rey saying like, no, I'm not going to fight you. I still love you. And as he walks away, Dominic calling out to him, like, you have the comedy at the start, then you have the serious stuff afterwards. I thought it was just, it all worked. I really liked this.
It's funny, I didn't pick up that the WrestleMania line was also supposed to be comedy.
What do you mean, sorry?
So when he said, like, you know, you were going to come to my eighth grade diddly-dees, but you were doing WrestleMania instead, and you said, well, yeah, of course you're going to do WrestleMania. I think, like, I would have actually been like, well, no, of course he's not going to do WrestleMania. He's going to go hang out with his child. Like, that's actually way more important than being at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, but, like, so I don't know if that was also supposed to be comedy. All I'm saying is, like, it's, for me, it's such lazy, base level spoiled brat comedy,
but it, like, has been the whole time.
No, I disagree on that. I think some of his, like, you know, him being in prison and like treating, like, I think that stuff really works. Like, it's the same thing. I don't think it is the same thing. It's a derivative of what they have done, of, you know, have other people have done. But I don't think it's the same thing as being the spoiled child who was like, on my sweet 16, you didn't get me this birthday party thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think those two characters are the same, and I don't think it's the same level of comedy. And also, it's just that, like, if The Miz had said it, mm-hmm. I'd be like, that is a line that completely fits The Miz. But I don't think it's a line that completely fits Dominic Mysterio.
And I disagree.
And, but, like, and I've, if The Miz had said it as well, I'd have been like, oh god, that is such lazy writing.
Well, if The,
like,
Miz had said it, he would have delivered it really bad, so I don't think I'd have liked it.
Like, it is just, I think that's what I kind of, it's not the content of it, but it is the content of it, but it's just that, like, try harder.
Is Mod Mother here? Can we get a poll?
Oh man, this is a good poll to
do. It's a good poll. If Mod Mother is here, don't know if she is or not, if Mod Mother, can you hear us? Can we get a poll in the chat, please? Was this segment actually good? How do you want to phrase this?
The segment was good.
Regardless of the line, so it's not a fair question to ask that. But was this joke specifically the...
Was Dom's joke good?
Was Dom's joke specifically good?
Yeah. I'm very happy to be wrong on this one, yeah. because comedy is subjective. It all comes down to personal taste and stuff. I find this to be just a base level humor, and I do think you can do better than this. Mm. Because,
oh yeah, of course you could do better than this.
Yeah,
I'm not denying that for a second. I just thought this was good.
No, well, that's really what my issue more with it is, as opposed to, like, I don't think it particularly works for a lot of the feud that they're doing. Yeah, it's just it. I thought the segment they did on SmackDown was way better than this one, which I don't think particularly helps either.
Yeah.
Trish Stratus came out of the locker room after being tended to, and she, Lita, and Becky have all decided the damage control have just pissed them off.
I did think this was slightly anticlimactic. The fact that there's been three segments, one with the attack, when we're like, okay, we really need to get an update on Trish Stratus. Like, this seems really serious. Like, we're going to try and get an update on her as soon as we can. Like, Lita and Becky, like, not acknowledging Kathy Kelly, going right in, coming out and go, yeah, well, it didn't work, did it? I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's that then.
Yeah, Pete, you say that though, but it was better build than Bianca Belair versus Asuka, so...
That's not the barometer.
In on Raw, it sort of is.
It's not, though. Okay, no. It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But it is, though.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, that is what this story was. Damage Girl attacked Trish, and Trish was okay.
Yep.
Cool.
There you go.
There you go, you guys. I'm glad we filmed those extra stuff in where we were last week. Seth Rollins took on Baron Corbin, and Rollins won pretty quickly. He used Miz as a big launching pad to do an oopa doopa super stomp onto Corbin for the win, and dominated while doing so.
Yep. I wrote Miz on commentary, stomped to Corbin off Miz's back. Cool.
Yeah.
That was that.
We then got Bianca Belair versus Chelsea Green.
There is a backstage segment you're missing first.
Oh, sorry. I've got that.
Oh, boy. I love this. Chad Gable has been looking for Otis the whole night. And he finally finds him after he gets interrupted by Mustafa Ali, who puts over more of his character, which is also good. I like it. He finds Otis, and he's with Maximum Male Models. He's doing a photo shoot.
He's all he's dressed like them, Pete.
I know. And they're calling him Otis. I really liked everyone's performances in this segment. It was really funny. I said when Maximum Male Models first debuted with Massey and Mansoir, I said, like, I think that Marseille is killing this role. He seems like such a natural, like, slotting right into this model role. I was less convinced about Mansoor, and I was like, ah, he might need some time to, like, get into this. I think Mansoor nailed it in this segment. It was so funny. And he said a line that really got me was, he said that Chad Gable said, "Are you supposed to have a match this week?" Mansoor said, "Well, I broke a nail scrolling through my phone, so I'm not cosmetically cleared."
That was so great.
What a line. Cosmetically cleared.
That Pete is trying harder.
That's comedy. Right,
that
there
is genuinely very, very good comedy. Because they were advertised to have a match with Good Brothers.
Mm, yeah.
And the match just didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Because again, yeah, Triple H looks at the Good Brothers and like, well, where's AJ? Oof. I have no idea what to do with you otherwise. No. So I thought this was so great. This was so funny. I thought Maximum Medals were great. I thought Otis was great.
Yep.
And Chad Gable walks up to Otis and he's like, "I've been looking for you all night." And Otis is almost like torn. He's like talking to Maxine, and Maxine's sort of like putting down Chad and stuff. And then Chad says to him, he's like, "It's okay. We've still got time for a couple of hours of studying before we have to go to the next town." And Otis is like, "Sorry, coach. I'm going to go this way." Mm-hmm. And he goes off with his cool new friends. And he leaves Sad Gable behind, who does a little pouty lip because his study buddy is going off with the cool kids at school.
No.
This rules.
This is so good.
This is the match I'm looking forward to at WrestleMania. I cannot wait.
What, Gable versus Otis? Or what? What's the match?
Well, I don't know. What I would do... Okay, if I was booking this... If I was in the writer's room now with Triple H, here's what I would pitch. Mm-hmm. Chad Gable versus Mansoor with Otis in a shark cage.
Mansoor or Marseille?
I mean, they're interchangeable.
Okay,
really.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, the key to this is Otis in the shark cage.
Why a shark cage?
Because it's WrestleMania. And then that sets up gimmick of, like... Which side is he going to pick? You know, he's got the option to throw something to one of them, and he's like, "I don't know which one I'm going to do."
I would not do the shark cage, because then you can have that much more openly, that choice happen. But yes.
Yeah, but it's above the ring now, Pete.
No.
Do you want to do it on a forklift?
No.
A pole?
No.
No, you sure?
Nope, none of the above. Nope. He'd just be on the outside.
Above the ring. Yeah, you're right.
He'd just be
none of the above
the
ring. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. He'd just be outside.
I love this. I love that it's essentially a high school feud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's the cool kids at school versus the dorks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I think that WWE have been a bit naff at deciding whether or not Alpha Academy are heels or faces. Because sometimes they're heels, sometimes they're just faces.
I think they're faces now.
But I think they're faces now.
Yep.
And this is a perfect, perfect fit. And I think this is really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
We then had... Apologies, you are right. I got my notes out of order. Bianca Belair versus Chelsea Green. There was lots of Carmella interference, and that allowed Chelsea Green to take control. But much like last week, it never actually felt like Bianca Belair was in trouble, and Belair won. The heels then beat her down afterwards. Asuka made the save and danced with her title. My notes here verbatim. I am really ready for this feud to actually get started.
Yeah, my first thing was Bianca Belair versus Chelsea Green. Then my first note is, love this feud between Bianca and Asuka. I had some notes about the match, and then I said, Asuka makes a save again. I love this feud between them. And then do a little dancing. Asuka's got blue goo again, and she laughs a lot. Okay. Love this feud between them. It's just such a good feud, you know? Like, there's just so many layers to it, so much happening between them. I love this feud. It's great.
I said this in my edited review, but I'll repeat it here now. This has got all of the trappings of Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks,
which ended up being a classic.
That's my point. It was absolutely dog-ass TV.
Yep.
And then a banger of a match at pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever talks about the dog-ass TV. They just talk about the banging match of the pay-per-view.
There was so much Reginald.
That's the Triple H secret.
Yeah.
He's very good at making you forget that he booked 8 weeks of terrible television because he had one really good 30-minute match on a pay-per-view.
Yep.
That is his secret talent.
Yep. That's the formula.
And it's going to happen again because these two are going to have an awesome match at WrestleMania.
I hope so. Yeah.
It's going to be wicked, but the build has been terrible.
It's not been great.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was the BMW joke good? Yes, 58, no, 41. That is more even than I was expecting it to be.
Me too. Yep.
I was expecting a bigger swing into yes, but that is more or less 50-50, 60-40.
So I win.
I mean, you win. Yeah. 100% you win.
Just a quick one as well.
Yes, please.
I have a criticism of Corey Graves and a compliment of Corey Graves.
You're not going to tell us you're horny again, are you, Pete?
So, never again. I got shouted out for that.
You?
They were trying to put over Chelsea Green on commentary.
Yeah.
And Corey Graves goes, you know, she's a highly skilled competitor. I was like, you can't just say that. Like, we've seen no proof of that in WWE. Like, she is outside of WWE. And she's like, you know, a very accomplished in NXT. I was like, no, she wasn't. That's a lie. Like, you can't just say
such
things.
Such a lie.
But Kevin Patrick, after Carmella did some interference, said, oh, cheap shot from Carmella. And Corey Graves said, it's nothing cheap about a KP. I've got the receipts. That's a very funny line, Corey Graves.
Very good, Corey
big
Graves.
Fan of that one.
Yeah. Not a big fan of this Bianca Belair feud, though. Do something.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, something would be fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, I think if you want to go into the comments and call me a woke lefty snowflake or whatever you want, you'll sound like a moron for doing so. Because
yes, you will.
Because no one uses those words unironically.
Mm.
But one women's match in 2.5 hours.
It's not good.
Not great. Like 2.5 hours into this show, we get this one women's match and it's this. Mm-hmm. I don't think is good. It is bad when AEW does it, but that should not be. That is such a low bar. Like AEW's presentation of women is disastrously low.
Mm. It has been slight. It's been better in 2023 than it has been in other years, but it's still not great.
And it's still only one match.
Yeah.
And even then, those one matches sometimes go 3 minutes. Because if it's a Jade Cargill match, that ain't going long.
Yeah.
You know, Ruby Soho versus Thingio on Dynamite didn't go long because it's a Ruby Soho squash match and then an enhancement match.
Yeah.
But that's your one women's match for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should do better. And I think that Raw mostly does do better. At least, you know, they have more than one. But on this show, there just wasn't. It felt like a skeleton crew this week.
Yeah.
It felt like all the backstage stuff that they shot was all done last week.
Yeah.
And just it was a much smaller crew. I just think you can do better.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the main event was Solo Sikoa versus Kevin Owens in a street fight. You can tell that Owens is the pro here because he was wearing jeans.
Yeah.
The only man taking this seriously.
Solo Sikoa is the street champ, so he just needs to wear his usual ring attire.
Well,
that is his street clothes.
He does look like a Street Fighter character, so yeah, I guess
exactly,
in
a
way he is the one. But you know, Owens is the wrestling pro here, wearing his jeans.
I said here because the crowd chanted, "We want tables," and I said, "No, you don't. You're a bunch of liars. You don't know what you want. Shut up, crowd. I hate it."
I think what has ruined wrestling somewhat for the last 20 odd years.
Mm-hmm.
We Want Tables is very quickly becoming my least favorite chant
it's
in the world.
So annoying.
It's the worst, absolute dirt worst. Because it happens in any hardcore, street fight, ladder match, tables match. 30 seconds in, we want. Someone actually said this on Twitter earlier, and I completely agree. It's essentially chanting, "We want, this is awesome."
Yeah.
It means nothing. Mm-hmm. You don't actually want tables. It's just, it's a hardcore match, so you feel obligated that you need to chant that thing.
And then if there is a table spot, you don't really care all that much.
Yeah, and then like, but you know, credit to this crowd, when Kevin Owens got the table out, it was the biggest pop of the night.
But then they worked around it beautifully because they heard those chants. Kevin Owens took the table out, got beaten up. Solo Sikoa put it away again and the crowd booed.
Because they weren't going to do a table spot.
Good.
But they managed to like stop those chants
just
coming
stop
in.
Stop chanting for tables. Stop being so bloody entitled. Just get the match you're given.
I'm not a fan of the We Want Tables chance because I think at this point it is meaningless.
Yeah.
However, Kevin Owens set up a chair bridge.
Which means he's going through it.
I was like, well, Solo ain't taking that bump.
Yep.
Sucks to be you, Kev.
That's literally what I said. KO set up a bunch of chairs, which means he's going through them.
Yep. And sure enough, he did.
He did, yeah.
He took a hell of a bump onto those chairs. Mm-hmm. But was up 10 seconds later and doing spots again.
That's fine.
It's absolutely fine.
Don't worry about
it. It's actually, because Kevin Owens has done so many of those spots over the year, it actually gives him power. He regains HP by through. He's a chair type Pokemon.
Oh, exactly.
So if you
yeah.
throw him onto the chairs, it yeah. actually just gives him back his health.
Mm, yeah.
They brawled to the back, and then the Usos attacked Kevin Owens, double super kick, laid him out. They dragged him back to the ring. Samoan Spike, Solo Sikoa picks up the win, beats Kevin Owens in the main event of Raw. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens, on his own, lost 3-on-1.
Yeah.
At some point, he is going to have to swallow his pride mm-hmm. and realize he cannot do this on his own.
Yep.
Which is a lovely little bit of storytelling.
That's really good. I really like that Solo won. I like the way that he won. I like that no one else tried to come out to save KO.
Because they respected his wishes.
They said, all right, we won't help you. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
See how it fares for you. It didn't fare well for him.
Nope.
My one issue with this, and this is my only issue with this, because I really like the match and I like the other story elements that are going on. The whole time they've been talking about, and they've mentioned it in the Paul Heyman backstage promo as well, that they wanted to eliminate the KO problem. I'm talking about the KO problem that they have lately. They had it last week as well when they were talking about it with the KO solo match as well. Need to eliminate the KO problem. They didn't eliminate the KO problem. They won a match.
I don't know. Did you see the phlegm that was coming out of his mouth?
He took a Samoan Spike.
Yeah.
Loads of people are taking Samoan Spikes. He's not... Like, I feel like the MO of what the Bloodline should have been trying to do here is write Kevin Owens off, injure him, and make sure he's nowhere near WrestleMania. That is eliminating the KO problem. That's what they should be trying to do. What they did is they won a match. KO's going to be fine by SmackDown. You know? Like, there's nothing that says, like, this ended the KO problem. For me, what they should have done, probably, is done, like, a big spot. Like, a big, like, oh, KO's been chucked off a big thing, like, through some tables or whatever. Like, at least there's question marks over his status. So you go, okay, we've eliminated the KO problem, we can move on. Then KO comes up and they go, oh my god, what have we got to do to get rid of this guy, kind of thing. Like, that to me is more of, it doesn't make the Bloodline look dumb. Because for me, last week especially, and this one, it's just like, KO's still there. You have not accomplished your goal. Why aren't you trying to accomplish your goal? It's why when we said on last week's review, like, the wrestling didn't matter. Because their goal was to eliminate KO. It's just a wrestling match. Mm. And then they won. And that's it. You've not eliminated the KO problem at all.
I think they were trying to do that with the spike. Because not everyone has done the sell of the spike where it's like, you know, you almost like, when Umaga did it to Kane and mm-hmm. Kane was coughing out blood. Like, yeah. I think that's what they were going for here, is to make it be like, oh, wow, they have taken out Kevin Owens because... Mm. How on earth can he breathe now, Samoan Spike and all this sort of stuff. So I think that's what they're going for. I don't know if it was like, I don't know if that worked. I think you're right. Like, I think you want to do a bigger spot than that. Mm-hmm. But I honestly did not pick up on that as being a thing against the match.
I still very much enjoyed all of this. Mm-hmm. It is just like, that is my one thing that I wish they'd done a little bit more of, is trying to put over the idea that KO might be, he can't even make it to Mania. Oh my God. Like, that I think is more compelling. And makes the Bloodline look like they're doing their job, you know.
Yeah.
They're protecting Roman Reigns by making sure KO is not anywhere near Mania.
Well, that was the show. I gave it 3 out of 5 in my Raw review.
That's fair.
And it was more a case of, I give this 3 out of 5, I guess.
Yeah, valid.
So we're going to have a poll going up. In fact, the poll is already up. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Let us know what you thought while we shout out some very, very important people from our wonderful Pledge Hammer community. Become a Pledge Hammer over at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. We've got some cool stuff that's going up there recently. Last week was the behind the scenes. And before that, we had the mailbag, you and Tempest providing that. And tomorrow, it's Wednesday, you know what that means. It's Wrestle Talk After Dark.
Yes.
It'll be me, Tempest, and Pete having a couple of drinks and talking some smack, I guess. And,
yeah.
Answering your mad questions from the Patreon mailbag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be fun stuff on there. There's going to be another thing coming up soon. There's also uncut versions of stuff like Survival Series that's also on Patreon as well. So that's cool. There's going to be another thing coming soon.
And myself and Ollie Davis will be reviewing WrestleMania X8. Rock versus Hogan, and also Triple H versus Jericho. That will be going up in a week's time.
Yep. So
or
not,
possibly 2 weeks time, depends on when we record it.
Next Wednesday.
Yep. Or the Wednesday after, depends on when we get it recorded. Ideally, it'll be next Wednesday.
Hopefully
it's next Wednesday, but we'll soon see.
Yes.
But yeah, that's coming up very soon on your Patreon. But if you are one of our $25 and above Patreon pledge hammers, you get your name read out on this show like these fine folks. Lord Chris Zanzo.
Too lot to handle, Lottie McCulloch.
Manipulating Manny Umaria.
How'd you like them apples, Marcel Jura?
Hope you enjoyed WXW. Marcus, he's got Soul Campbell.
Have a glass of sherry, Martel J. Simmons.
He's got two first names, Matt Howard.
The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Max Cudwallander, Wallen.
Michael Jensen Radio.
Michael Mark for Life Plowman.
And finally, for the Hall of Fame class of this, the 14th of March 2023, NJ Hornsberg.
Thank you all so much. Right, ding, ding, ding. This is your last call for Ultra Chat. Just Donnie has been a member for 18 months in a row, says Amos and Brock is going to be incredibly boring. Brock might as well wrestle a 300-pound chair.
That feels harsh, but I kind of agree.
A 300-pound chair.
Yeah.
What would that even look like? Surely, really, what Just Donnie should have said was wrestle a 7-foot-tall wardrobe.
That works. I mean, a 300-pound chair, isn't that what you used in the chairs match?
That big chair.
The big chair.
The big chair, the big show, lad. Best match ever, that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a 7-foot-tall wardrobe. But even so, Brock Lesnar's like giving the F5 to a 7-foot-tall wardrobe.
I'd pop. Yeah.
Bruce Youngberg says, which will be worse? Vince taking that stunner last year or Amos taking an F5? That's from Bruce the Mailman.
I don't think Vince taking the stunner was bad. It's hilarious. you can't call it bad.
No, I mean, I think it is going to be Vince.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Zach here says, love what you guys do. Watch almost every stream. Do you think that LA Knight will face Lashley or will he just do an open challenge? Maybe that's answered by Steve Austin. Maybe even added to the IC title match. Either way, happy birthday, Pete.
It's not my birthday.
And he won't be added to the IC title match. Mm-hmm. That will for sure be the triple threat.
Yeah.
But an open challenge that's answered by Austin, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
I dig that. And if Bray Wyatt can't make it to Mania, I could totally see LA Knight versus Lashley. That'd be a thing. And I think that would be a thing of Lashley being like, oh, I'm pissed off. I need to take my anger out on someone. And LA Knight's like, yeah. And then Lashley kills him in like a minute.
Up next, Buster Groove. I will never, ever run away.
That's not the username. The username is the Buster Groove.
I will never, ever run away. What a tune, though. Everyone, get out of your way to play Buster Groove on the PlayStation. Great game. Hey, guys. While the Cody segment was really great and a real banger from last night's show, must have been Maximum Male Models. Made me laugh really hard, especially Mansoir's delivery. Mm-hmm. Hope his nails are okay.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Stay groovy.
Thank you.
Kevin here says, Pete, we want to know what It's Just Hard to Chant. We want four tables stacked on top of each other and a 2x2 setup and some flames on them. Clap, 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 clap. The joke was just fine. Nothing crazy about it. To have some stupid jokes from me.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Apologies, Streamlabs has lost the next username. It's a Streamlabs issue. They will sort it eventually.
Hopefully.
Can we petition for Kevin Patrick to be removed from commentary? Dude straight up said that KO went through tables when he went through chairs.
Didn't even notice that.
It'd be okay if it was once in a while, but it's almost every segment that he's flubbing words.
Mm.
I am, like, he is bad on commentary, but also I think it's a high pressure gig.
Very much so. Yeah.
I could not do Raw commentary.
Absolutely not.
I would be dreadful at it. I'm not great at commentary as it is, but I would be awful doing WWE Raw commentary.
I'd be much worse than KP.
There's so much stuff that you have to do. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be so much worse than Kevin Patrick is. My thing I've got with Kevin is he doesn't have the gravitas.
Mm.
It's not just that he flubs his words. That happens. It's more just... It sounds lost. And also, like, you know, in fairness to him as well, Michael Cole did once say, steel stairs, what a chair shot. So... in your early days, you can make these mistakes.
Stephanie McMahon, Triple H's husband. That is a quote from Michael Cole.
Chris here says, hi guys. As much as I'm annoyed that Bray and Alexa are missing WrestleMania, especially Alexa for the second year, I can see this as a chance to step back and see how they can be fixed and then have a story to come back for together and rehash they can be thoughts. A refresh they can be. Apparently Bray isn't missing Mania.
Should be fine, hopefully.
The report is he is going to be fine for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. It's not the creative issues that one person was reporting. That has been denied by several different accounts. It's just he's got a medical issue at the moment, but he'll be okay for WrestleMania. Bliss is a different story. Because, man, did you see the 2K thing that she did? So they did a video where they were revealing everyone's 2K scores.
Yeah.
Oh, have I never seen someone just not want to be there? And was just like, hey, what do you think your score's going to be? She was like, hey, maybe it'll be the same as last year. Maybe I'll even go up. And then it went down. She was like, oh, well, you know, that tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Oh,
it's like, oh God.
Jesus.
Drew S, do you think LA Knight does go to WrestleMania? I would like to see him versus The Miz. Or perhaps Jay White if he goes to WWE. Whoa, those are two wild. Whoa, Drew.
Very different people.
Drew S, I want to pump the brakes there slightly. I think it might be The Miz or Jay White. Do you think it might be Dexter Lumis or Roman Reigns? Like, where do you think we might fall on the sliding scale here? I think if LA Knight does have a thing at WrestleMania, I like the idea that someone posted earlier about the open challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it be a Steve Austin segment. Mm. That is probably what I would do for LA Knight. John Rice said, happy birthday, Pete, and welcome back.
I've never left.
Sorry things didn't work out for you in the adult film industry, nope. But I'm a big fan of your mustache.
What?
So who do you guys think cares less about women's wrestling, Tony or Trips? 100% Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
Tony. Trips makes bad choices. Tony actively doesn't care.
Yeah.
Ryan Singh says, if Jay White, Omega, and the Young Bucks were to join WWE, there would be 9 former Bullet Club members in WWE at one time. Cody wins at Mania, Orton returns on the Raw after him, and those two feud. Then at SummerSlam, WrestleMania, angles involving AJ Balor, Cody, and White, and Omega for the title.
And Omega? Great. Throw that name in there.
Well, they did say if Omega and the Young Bucks were to join WWE. But also, if Omega can't be there until like later this year, I think.
Yeah,
they've
got like
the contract extension.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it is mad if all of them went, like 9 former Bullet Club members.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, WWE should build your own stars and steal them from other promotions.
I think they should split those into 3 individual trios and then make like a Bullet Club Wolf Pack, you know, stuff like that, and just like split them off into their own things.
That I like. Also, I just want to make sure, I guess, when they pick up my facetiousness. I'm kidding when I say they should build their own stars and stop stealing other people's.
Yeah.
Kevin said, I know it wasn't intentional, but I found it hilarious that you posted the first episode of Worst Match Ever on International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
We did. Yeah, we certainly did. And it was not intentional.
Nope.
When it went up, though, I thought, that's quite funny. Also, I don't know if it's a spoiler, but there's a local talent called Precious Silver on 2K23. Luke, you have to draft her.
In what? Why would you draft anyone on 2K23?
Well, I think they would say if you were to play the My GM mode.
Right, yeah.
If we were, we haven't really like planned. We might play it recreationally, I guess.
Yeah, no, I guess we might just play it in the office.
Yeah.
Got no plans for a series or anything.
Like lunch break or so.
Yeah.
Just
build
the PlayStation. We'll do like a couple of weeks or so.
Yeah.
I'll listen to some Scene Queen and you can book your terrible shows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'll have a look at this Precious Silver.
We have one, by the way, that's in the previous section that was might miss with refreshes and stuff.
It's from Caleb, formerly known as Mr. Higglesby, speaking of my GM. Who's hornier for The Miz, heel Michael Cole or current Corey Graves? 100p, heel Michael Cole.
Heel Michael Cole.
We're a little over 2 months away for Tears of the Kingdom, and I'm so pumped.
Mm.
We certainly are. One watcher said, the thing about Dom's birthday card was a bit cringe, but it establishes his retroactive sense of having been mistreated ever since he got into Judgment Day. Really feels like he's gotten himself into a cult. It's uncomfortable, and in a good way.
Hmm.
We've also got here from Jack Nichols, who says, this Ray Hall of Fame stuff has me emotional. 2017, my friend and TKM member Peter Nixon wrestled a triple threat match with Ray and Kip Sabian in Norwich.
Hmm.
Now Ray is going to the Hall of Fame in the same month as Nixon is retiring. Ray inspired so many, my friend has done to follow your dreams. If you can't reach, then jump. On a personal note, Nixon is a fantastic wrestler and even better friend. If there's interest in his last match, is at DOA The Last Hurrah in Great Yarmouth this Saturday. He will be wrestling the UK's best kept secret and your mum's favourite, Brad O'Brien. Anyway, thanks for all you do. My day will be a lot blander without you wonderful lads. Luke is the man, Ollie is Peng. All hail WrestleTalk. P.S. I haven't written in a while, been financially strapped, but I really do like your new YouTube shows. One second. I really like your YouTube. Survival series in three words are excellent. Three count. Excellent watches. For those of you who haven't checked out them, I implore you to do so. Oh, and listen to Crime in Sports. Doodles.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jack, for four big old chats there. We're going to end the poll to see what the results are for your thoughts on this episode of Raw. We have mid 54%, thumbs up 31, thumbs down 14.
Mostly mid,
but pointing upwards.
Ever so slightly pointing upwards.
So yeah. not bad at all. And Sunny Nev here points out Pete's a very good actor in his adult movies. So good to know.
Not a thing.
Thank you all so much for watching this edition of the WrestleTalk Podcast Reviews Monday Night Raw. Please do press the subscribe button, press the thumbs up button as well, and leave your comment down below if you've made it this far. In fact, why don't you leave... We should have a little secret sign that people can comment to show that you did make it this far, and that will be the title of Pete's adult movie.
Nope.
I will leave that up to you.
Nope.
We'll see you on Thursday for the AEW Dynamite review, where... it's MJF's rebar mitzvah, and I cannot wait. I've not been as excited for a wrestling segment in 2023 than I have been MJF's rebar mitzvah.
Should be fun.
Oh, it's going to be delightful. And tomorrow, worst match ever, we're going to be watching Gerald Briscoe versus Pat Patterson in a hardcore evening gown match from King of the Ring 2000. Take care, everyone. Have a great day. Jam that jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.